I'm Frank Vaughn. It is August 1st, 2026, and over the last 3 weeks while my wife has been gone, I had hoped against hope that the world would regain some of its sanity, but it hasn't. If anything, it's going to get worse. One of the more disturbing things I find about the impending renewal of a heavy bombing campaign, among all the disturbing things that I'll try to go over, there's too many to count, is that it hasn't started already. It didn't start at market close on Friday. It hasn't started today on Saturday. All the planes, all the equipment are in the air. Preparations are underway. Evacuations are ongoing, both in Iran and around the Middle East. The threats have all been laid on the table, and Trump seems to be going ahead with bombing the energy infrastructure in Iran, which will lead to the subsequent bombing of energy infrastructure in the Gulf. And this war that was completely avoidable, completely unnecessary, started on another myth of weapons of mass destruction. It's like, you know, it was Donald Trump who talked so much in 2016 and 2015 about the invasion of Iraq under the myth that they had weapons of mass destruction. It was a total lie. Donald Trump talked about that. He also talked about the fact that 9/11 wasn't a product of the Afghan government, but that the majority of the hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. He said that out loud. He challenged a lot of reigning narratives, and that's what was the beginning of my cautious hope that something different was about to happen. And now here we are, 11 years later, or 10 years later, depending on how you want to score it, and he has become the worst neocon in the history of the United States because he was stupid enough to go to war with Iran. Now, maybe it's not stupid. Maybe it's all intentional. Oftentimes, you can only make sense of things if you look at it and say, if this was an intentional, cohesive plan, what would the objective be? Now, if you wanted to kick off an energy crisis, if you wanted to destroy all of the things that MAGA is supposed to stand for domestically, if you wanted to railroad the global economy, this is exactly what you would do. You would make sure that Ukraine could keep hanging on in spite of everything. I mean, some welcome news, I suppose, is that the United States won't be licensing Ukraine to build Patriots on their soil. But Patriots are overrated anyway. This isn't like brand new tech that can do anything about the ballistic missiles that Iran is firing that can steer in air. They can change pathing and trajectory. Doesn't do a damn thing about the Shahids. And waves of Shahids. The Russians can't defend against them. The Ukrainians can defend against them a little bit, but not much. They certainly can't defend against the Iskanders, and they certainly can't defend against the Oreshniks. But the United States, if Donald Trump was serious when he said, I will end the Ukraine war in one day, he would have simply pulled all support for Ukraine. And that would have been that. Instead of threatening and blustering about NATO, he would have just left NATO. And that would have changed things really quick. But back to Iran, which is the biggest mistake. As these conflicts appear to be merging, remember in previous video, I said that when we look back on World War II, and we look back on World War I, and when we look back on the Napoleonic Wars, we tend to view everything as a whole. We view the lead-up, we view the 1920s and the 1930s as the building blocks of the coming conflict. We can even go back to the First World War, and we can trace the roots of the Second World War to the First World War. We look at it as a whole. But if you were living it, if you were there, and you were living it on a day-to-day basis, that's not how you saw it. There was disparate events going on all over the world, and they weren't tied together as a whole. We live the same experience today in our fourth turning. And if you look at it as a whole, the whole is coming together. Like a merger of a conflict, it's hard to not see World War III well into the breakout phase as we sit here this evening on Saturday. The bottom line is, whatever the Trump administration aims to accomplish by renewal of the bombing campaign, if it wasn't accomplished in the first 40 days of heavy bombing, it's not going to be accomplished now. I don't know if military planners or politicians, I don't know if they have an aversion for studying history or an aversion in the modern times from studying warfare of previous generations. Aerial bombardments don't work. You can't defeat nations from the air. You never have. And you can't today. Maybe with nuclear weapons. But heaven forfend that we get into the nuclear weapon territory. I don't think anybody's that stupid. I pray to God they're not that stupid. But they're going to try it again. And this time round, they're going to trigger an energy crisis, which I don't even think Trump cares about. You know, he used to make the argument that cheap gas prices were a goal. I remember before the bombing campaign broke out, he was going to restaurants and he was doing these appearances with people and he was saying, are you enjoying your gas prices? Like, he was doing the whole thing. And then he would make the argument that, yes, it's a momentary blip, but it's worth it if Iran never gets a nuclear weapon, which they've never had in the first place, which they were willing to give up their nuclear program and downblend the uranium. Before the war even began, the Omani diplomat, I believe it was their foreign minister, who was the mediator that both the Iranians and the Americans agreed to, the day that they were bombed, said that they were willing to give it all up. The myth of weapons of mass destruction that started this war hopefully remains a myth today. Hard to say, because the Iranians are so deep underground. They've had decades to build these underground facilities that are well out of the range of MOABs and any ground-penetrating bombs and munitions. They've been planning for this, and they're executing it with great discipline, whether you like them or not, whether you think they're a death cult or not. I always find that argument amazing. People can point the finger at Iran and say, look, it's a death cult. But they don't realize that the Third Temple advocates, the evangelicals that are supporting this war, the evangelical Zionists and the Zionists themselves, want to get going on the Third Temple so that they can trigger the end of the world too. I mean, it's a competition between death cults. I'm supposed to believe that one of these death cults is my side. I don't have a side. Every time I say truthful things about Iran, people claim that I'm trying to become the next Ayatollah or something along those lines, like something foolish. It's just, all I want to do is tell the truth. And the truth is, I'm very concerned this time around. If Trump doesn't taco, and that's another thing I just want to address, the term taco. You know, I have to admit that up until about a week ago, I didn't even know what it really stood for. I knew what it represented, him changing his mind. I didn't know it meant Trump always chickens out. I didn't know that. But I think TACO, as an acronym, though it means those things, essentially is just something to simplify what is very real. In the morning, Trump can say one thing, and in the afternoon, another thing, and by the evening, he's back to saying the thing that he was saying in the morning. And you can stretch it out over days, and you can stretch it out over the course of weeks. He is all over the place. And I am told constantly by people, this is the art of the deal. I've read the art of the deal. I actually did a detailed, I believe it was hour and a half long book report, I guess you could call, presentation on the art of the deal back in 2016 when he was running the first time. I don't know how many people saw it. The darn thing almost broke me. But I've read it. And this doesn't resemble that at all. This just resembles chaos, making it up as he goes. Robert Barnes, somebody that I listen to, somebody that I've been critical of in the past because I think he botched Alex Jones' defense, but that's a whole other story. Among other people who you can't just label as leftists, think he's in a state of dementia, mental breakdown. I don't know. I'm not an expert in those things. But he is all over the place. One minute he's talking about diplomacy and peace. The next minute he's talking about ending their civilization. And it's been back and forth, Groundhog Day, for months now. Well, as of right now, we are back to bombing them into the Stone Age. And this time, energy infrastructure is on the table. What can I glean about reality? Well, Netanyahu came to Washington, didn't look unhappy. When he left, when he was done with his meetings and he went and met with the media, he was all smiles talking about his great friend Trump. If Netanyahu's not disappointed, then I'm willing to bet warfare is on the table. And this time round, because the Israelis have been cautious, they don't want to be hung out to dry. The Americans got cold feet once they got going. Once Trump got going with this effort in Iran, he wanted to get out of it. The Israelis wanted to keep going, if you remember. And the Americans basically said, pound sand, we're stopping for now. Well, this time round, it's the United States who wants to get back going. It's the United States who's been doing the bombing along with Kuwait and along with the UAE, apparently. Apparently, the Gulf states have been getting in on the action. I can't even believe I'm talking about this. The whole thrust of the last decade was staying out of this. Remember, Hillary Clinton in 2016 told the American public that Donald Trump was going to start World War III in his first term. Didn't happen. Donald Trump also said he was going to lock her up. Didn't happen. He actually said this time around that he thought it would be bad for the country to lock up her rapey husband and actually deal with the crimes that the Clintons together have committed, that it would be bad for the country. It would be bad optics. Well, they're still out there free. And Ol Hill is going to be proven right in terms of starting a global conflict, because that's what this is. This is now a global conflict. I don't know how people can escape that. Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, Iran, Afghanistan, because you have to remember that Pakistan and Afghanistan have been going at each other. Ukraine, Russia, you can draw a great big arc dividing the world. And along that front, there's all sorts of conflicts, Syria, Lebanon. And then there was, of course, the drone attack on the Egyptian tankers. I don't know if some people surprisingly haven't heard about that, but you know, it's pretty big news. Each one of those massive supercarriers full of liquid natural gas is like a small nuclear weapon. And someone, and I say someone because there doesn't make any sense that it was Iran, someone decided to hit them with drones. And if they had blown them up, there would have been thousands of dead people in that Egyptian port city if they had managed to set off the chain reaction, which would lead to the boom, the big bang. First off, if it was Iran, they would have had to have navigated all of Israel's early warning systems to get drones there. I guess they could have done it through proxies. But the point is that, forgive me if I'm a little bit disjointed, but the point is you have to do all this theory crafting to explain it as an Iranian attack. The Egyptians have already came out and ruled it out. They're just like, nope, wasn't Iran. We don't know who did it. I think false flag. I think Israel. I think that's how Occam's razor cuts. Because if they can sow discord between the Iranians and the Egyptians, where there is no discord right now, that would be a good thing. It would advance their foreign policy. Someone fired at those LNG tankers and took a big risk, and we're lucky they didn't blow up. And I don't think it makes any sense that it was Iranian. Can you imagine? They would have had to have flown. If it came from Iran, they would have had to have gone through Iraq or Saudi Arabia, Iraq and Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel. Like, what's the flight path? Doesn't even make any sense. Western media and many alternative media voices seem sold on the fact that it was Iranian. Doesn't make any sense to me. It just feels like the point that I keep trying to make that I haven't made yet is that there was no bombing yet today, no bombing yesterday. That means that if Trump doesn't taco again, then the attack's going to begin in the hours ahead, Sunday, Monday after markets open. And if that's the case, I've said this before, that attacks that begin on a Friday are sort of a planned stepped escalation or choreographed. But that attacks that begin on a Sunday or a Monday, that's a sign of real and genuine escalation. And I think if the Americans and the Israelis start the attack again, either tonight or tomorrow or Monday, it signals that Trump is no longer He doesn't care anymore about oil prices. And this is at a time when the strategic petroleum reserves in the United States, as Trump admitted, he said they were only 4 to 6 weeks away from running out of oil. The drawdown has continued. It's like 18 consecutive weeks of drawdown. I think we're sitting at 308 million barrels sitting in the strategic petroleum reserve. And it sounds like a lot, but it's not, because once you get below 300 million, the oil becomes less useful because it's all stored in these old salt caverns and the oil has been polluted by the salt. It's not as useful. So you're nearing tank bottom at a point when it looks like escalation is going to happen. Now, how do you make sense of it? Do they want an energy crisis? Is this the desired outcome underneath all of the obfuscation and subterfuge that we're subjected to every single day by a media space dominated by a false dichotomy, or an alternative media space, which a lot of the times really is an alternative, is it? It's just another business model. It's become an extension of mainstream media. It's the mainstreamification of the alternative media space because, let's face it, the internet is dominating everything. It's replacing TV. It's replacing everything. This is where you get your information from. And so it must be controlled. If you think the intelligence agencies haven't realized that, I guess then you weren't listening to Bibi when he said he was going to pay influencers $7,000 a piece for various content creation. They're out there. If you don't think the CIA, Mossad, if you don't think MI6, if you don't think the intelligence agencies understand the power of the internet, I don't know what to tell you. I guess you haven't been reading history books. Of course, they're manipulating the alternative media space. I just think that as we sit here, as Saturday evening approaches, it's about 3:30 in the afternoon when I record this, that an escalation that happens on Sunday, Monday is a truly, truly catastrophic bad thing. And if they actually are foolish enough to bomb Karg Island and bomb the energy infrastructure, then the energy infrastructure in the Middle East will burn. The Israelis are very vulnerable. I saw a report, I can't remember the name of who, but it was some commander, some senior commander in the, I don't know the rank, I can't remember the rank, but you could find the media release just by looking it up, like asking AI who the person was who said that the United States doesn't have the munitions to defend Israel at this point. Because they don't. Two-thirds of U.S. advanced interceptors are depleted, and a lot of their standoff munitions are gone. A lot of their Tomahawks have been burned through. Trump may be out there claiming that they have all kinds of ammunition. Sure, they do. They got thumb bombs out the wazoo. But they're not flying over Iran, dropping them majority of the time. They're flying up and they're firing from the outskirts into the interior because they're afraid of doing bombing runs and dealing with those S-400 anti-aircraft systems that the Iranians have. Like this idea that the Americans dominate Iranian airspace and that the Iranian military is combat ineffective is the most blatant, exaggerated lie I think that's been promoted for the entire 150 days of this 24 to 48 hour war. But it does look like they're going to try something, and it's not going to work. And the Israelis, their desalinization, which they rely on for a lot of their water, as well as their refineries, which refine the fuel that goes into their air force, are highly concentrated facilities. They occupy very small amounts of space, very small area, easily targeted by Iranian ballistic missiles and Shahed drones. And the Iranians have been measured in their firing. It's not that they're depleted, it's that they're measured, it's that they're controlled. They're doling it out. I said the other day on Twitter that they have mastered the ability of firing a half dozen ballistic missiles at an airbase and forcing the Americans to spend another $500 million on another fruitless bombing campaign or on interceptors firing to try and knock these things out of the sky, as well as being able to land hits on American bases. And we know this is happening. Like, there's so many things that I want to say. There's so many things I want to present. But X is a captured platform. Unfortunately, what little time I've had on social media the last couple of weeks, I've spent it on X in ways that are fairly futile. Because if you go against American foreign policy or you say things that are critical of Israel, you have freedom of speech, but you don't have freedom of reach. So nobody sees what you have to say anyway. I am deeply troubled by what I think we're about to enter into. If the Iranians are capable of damaging the refining capacity in Israel, then they have an Air Force crisis. They can't fuel their F-35s. All of the concentrated air assets that the United States has packed into Ben Gurion Airport, their refuelers, their planes, because they're fleeing the region. I don't know how people don't understand. Like, they want to believe the words of Donald Trump, who at this point, when it comes to Iran, he's a proven liar. But actions speak louder than words. The Americans are fleeing their military bases all over the Middle East. That's just a fact, because the Iranians are able to do damage, and Trump is very scared of casualties. So one base after another, after another, after another is, I don't want to say abandoned, but the assets are being moved away. The helicopters, the planes, everything's being moved away. The personnel are being dispersed, often into the civilian population or into hotels in the interior. And those bases are running on skeleton crews if there's anybody there. The Iranians have been hitting, I can't recall the acronym, but there's various missile batteries in Kuwait, and they're successfully targeting them in a highly accurate way, and they're doing it in a measured way. So these forces are being concentrated, a lot of them at Ben Gurion Airport, and Ben Gurion Airport becomes an extremely easy target to hit for Iranian ballistic missiles and drones. It's a very small area. And if you fire sufficient munitions, you're going to get in there and you're going to do a lot of damage. Nobody's done anything yet at this stage on Saturday. But notifications have gone out. The U.S. State Department has warned people to consider leaving the region. The Jordanians have gone further and said, you need to get home. You need to get out. Everybody's warning everybody. Civilian aircraft are leaving Tehran Airport. The Iranians are getting ready to get bombed. Everybody in the region's getting ready. It feels like we are moments away from this thing starting. Now, again, Trump could taco on Saturday after his people open a bunch of short positions in the futures market and manipulate the oil markets yet again for a quick windfall. But I don't know. That doesn't comport to the feeling that I have from reading the events. I mean, Trump hasn't been talking to the media. I don't recall what the term is, but basically he shut the media out. He's not talking to them. He's huddled with his people. He's huddled with probably Kushner and Witkoff and the loyal generals, because anybody that's telling them the truth gets fired. Anyway. My wife has returned, and I've spent the last few days trying to put a smile back on her face to some degree of success. Spending a lot of time. Today we've been organizing and cleaning the office, because my office is also a pseudo basement. I'm trying to get it back in order so that I can start doing the work again. And so I need to clear the papers off the desk. I need to catch up with some things, which I have been doing. I'll tell you, I'm not really looking forward to the week ahead. Well, and then there's the other part, and I guess I'll just touch on it a little bit. I watched a press conference with Mark Carney standing behind her, Daniel Smith saying that she wants to rapidly scale up immigration into Alberta, as if Alberta doesn't have enough immigration problems. As if Alberta isn't already overrun, as if the UCP caucus, as if UCP membership actually want mass immigration. They don't. She doesn't care. I saw a video of Brett Wilson begging everybody to vote against independence. The best thing that you could possibly do right now is vote yes for independence. Not because you'll get independence. You probably won't. But it would strengthen the negotiating position of Alberta at a minimum and begin a process that might lead towards independence at some point down the road. But Pierre Poilievre, after losing in Carleton, goes into Alberta, gets a riding, and is there lecturing everybody that they have to stay in the country. They got to engage with their Stockholm syndrome. Never end the abuse. Never curtail it. Just keep embracing it. Speaking of Poilievre, I watched one short clip of his just before I started filming this, actually. And what was it about? It was about Ukraine. Talking about foreign policy. Mark Carney has remained supportive of the United States, but somewhat neutral, uncommittal. Poilievre wants to commit. He wants to get in. What the hell kind of choice is that?